You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, good evening, and welcome to another conversation of what the heck is our government doing?
This is the 60 Minutes version of Dr. Ron and Linda.
Well, you know, I want to start with this $1.9 trillion stimulus, which we've already discussed that 91% of has nothing to do with COVID whatsoever. It's a bailout for basically the blue states, but it also is kind of a welfare plan in reverse. If you remember when President Clinton was president, he made it so that welfare recipients had to have some accountability to be able to continue to receive their welfare.
Yeah, I think it was called workfare and not welfare under the Clinton administration.
Yeah, they had work requirements, and Biden has just taken those away. There are minimal requirements in exchange for cash payments and other benefits. And some of those benefits are increases, 15% increases in food stamps. And of course, the plan calls for a big increase in monies for Obamacare. So they are going to be voting on this plan. And, you know, there's just so much pork in this that it's totally ridiculous. And we're doing this. I understand that a lot of people need to be bailed out, Ron. But I don't want to talk about it in a little bit, but it's apropos here that we are at a 77% decrease in COVID. So we're coming in kind of after the fact and doing this. What would be much better for, I think, people is just open the darn economies, open the states that are not open, New York, California, these big economic engines of our country that are staying closed. I think that that would help.
Well, I've got two questions.
Yeah.
Okay. The first one is a cut to the chase question. And you and I have run successful businesses for many, many, many years, employed a lot of people between the two of us, quite a few people, and contributed significantly with our state and federal taxes. Can you tell me, looking at that $1.9 trillion bailout, what our cut of the action is here?
In Texas?
No, I mean, just us. Are we gonna, are we seeing these checks that these other people are
paying for?
And that's one of my points. So the hardest working people in the United States are going to subsidize people that are non-business owners, non-hard workers, teachers that, are getting paid to sit home and really not even teach classes. So that's number one. And obviously, we want to do our fair share to subsidize people that are really hurting. Okay, people that have been working, people that have sweat equity into the system, so to speak. All right, that's number one. But my second question is, Linda, I thought I heard that these subsidies and payouts and giveouts are going to extend not only through this year, but going out to almost 10 years into the future.
Well,
is that what I'm hearing?
There are some things in that bill that do go way out. But I want to tell you some of the things. You know, one of the people I respect the most in economics in America is Stephen Moore. And according to Stephen Moore, 8 million jobs will be killed by the stimulus. And a lot of that has to do with this $15 an hour pay raise. But I don't think that that's going to be able to go through in the stimulus. And I'll tell you why. An independent person, and I'm sorry, I don't remember her name, that was tasked to review the kind of the legality of putting it through the way that they're putting it through, said you can't do it. So he's going to have to put it in a separate bill. Now, Kamala Harris could come in as the president of the Senate and overrule that, but I don't think that she will, because it's really not the right thing to do based on the laws of the country.
Yeah, but what does that matter?
Because no, I get it.
What does it matter? Because the Democrats are going to pass the $15 an hour, raise in the federal wage, hourly wage, whether people like you and me or the Republican Senate, think it's the wrong thing to do, which we do think it's the wrong thing to do for the obvious reasons. And by the way, full disclosure, Mr. Moore, is he not the former economic advisor for President
Trump? Well, he is.
One of many.
But right? Long before he ever worked for President Trump, I mean, I have the most admiration for him than anybody. His economic common sense has been spot on for as long as I've ever listened to him. Right. So, and more people should do so, because this guy he's brilliant. But here are some examples in this bill. And there are so many, but a family of four under this bill could be making, so with both parents unemployed, okay, so a family of four, two parents, two kids, could be making $100,000 to $150,000, while the guy next door who gets up every day and goes to work at the grocery store and has done so through the pandemic and works his, 40, 50 hours a week, gets paid, $50,000 a year. This does not makes sense. The way that they're doing this, as always, is bass backwards, and it's not right for the economy.
But that's what I'm saying, and it wasn't a sarcastic question. I mean, it was a question with point of fact. People that are hardworking people, small business owners, people that have really contributed significantly to the economy, to employment, and put in a lot of sweat equity, not only as business owners, but as workers, exactly like you said, have gone out during the pandemic and have worked, as opposed to teachers who have sat home and are protected by very powerful unions and donors to the Democratic Party. We're kind of cut out of the pie here.
Exactly. And, what that means, Ron, is that 5 to 8 million people in our country will not go back to work, because they're making more money when they're off work than when they're working.
Yeah, but that's not all. Because if you take a look at what has happened, going back to even before COVID days, when the first time the $15 an hour wage increase took place, and I'm pointing directly to California, and I'm pointing directly to SoCal and Los Angeles, for instance. Los Angeles County was one of the first counties to adopt this $15 an hour wage increase, or maybe at the time it was $10 an hour, but it was certainly a significant wage increase. Major companies like McDonald's changed the entire paradigm of how you go into their fast food restaurants and order food. They got rid of the vast majority of the employees, except for one manager, a person taking right. orders at the drive-up window, and two or three cooks. One person at the front counter, where they would have four or five or six. They got rid of all those people and put in kiosks, where you go in and you touch buttons and you order your food. And where now we're seeing stores like Kroger's, major grocery chains that, do not make very much money. Okay, their overhead is, their profit margin, rather, is very low. They are completely changing their stores and moving to self-checkout and putting a lot of workers out of business, because they're not stupid.
Well, and see, this is the unintended consequences of these actions. I could foresee this, and I'm a nobody in economics. Why can't our political officials see that this will happen, that this is detrimental? Here's the way to open this country. You open the country and you get these workers back to work. What would happen if California, New York, and these other states that are shut down opened their businesses in full, just like Texas is, just like Florida is, and we're doing just fine? What would happen is, the restaurants would immediately hire thousands and thousands of thousands of people to start, you know, seating people in the restaurants again and serving people, cooks, people that are in the food business would be delivering food again, that the economy would start booming once again.
You know, that's a great point. And going with restaurants, because I think that's a great business to start with. The infrastructure that it takes to keep a restaurant operating, it has so many tentacles, like you said, you know, increase in produce being delivered, you know, to the restaurant, meats, poultry, seafood, all of those things, the truck drivers, you know, Linda, people like you that support the restaurant industry in printing and promotional products, because you're doing menus, you're doing all those types of things that you do uniforms for these different fast food outlets and things like that. So all of that, you're exactly right. Once restaurants are up and running, the alcohol industry, for God's sake, right? All of those are getting a fire lit under them. And now we're re-employing tens of thousands or perhaps hundreds of thousands of people. And that would just be in the state of California. Just multiply that by all the other states that are shut down, especially New York, for God's sake. And look at the tremendous increase in the economy and in employment that people are going to see.
Well, and another big one is the travel industry and the entertainment industry, where, you know, there so many people are in both of those industries and so many people are affected. You know, here's a perfect example. Canada, in its unique wisdom, has said that cruise ships cannot go into their ports or go through their waters. Okay, so that now cancels all the Alaska cruise ships for another year. Another year.
So think, and we're one of those people that got canceled on our vacation, second time around, by the way. And just take a cruise company. I won't name any of them. The people know what the names of all the major cruise companies are. But I think everybody would agree that on a cruise ship, you have anywhere from 2 to 5,000 people, you know, on a cruise ship. The Alaskan cruise ships are smaller. They take, you know, a couple of 3,000 people on the cruise ship. But think about all the places where the Alaskan cruise ship goes, all the small towns, the Skagways, the Ketchikans, the Whittiers, even Anchorage, which is, you know, a fairly large city. But look at all these small Kenai, all of these small towns that depend on the tourism dollar and the resorts that are there, right? Because you stay in hotels, you're not always on the cruise ship, the Denali, going, you know, the Mount McKinley, right? All of these different places that depend, these are small cities and small towns, Fairbanks, that depend on the tourism dollar. And they're all shut down.
They're all shut down. And think about, in line with what you're saying, the people that do the tours. So at each stop, you can go whale watching, or you can go fishing, or you can go in a
train
and go see the glaciers. And all of those people are now out of work for another year. And I mean, that's just heartbreaking to me that Canada has done this. Just to what on earth is it going to have for a ship to pass in the ocean to pass Canada? I don't think this has anything to do with COVID. I think it has to do with the pipeline. That's my opinion.
And I agree. And also, don't forget, the person who is the prime minister of Canada, Trudeau, is just like a Biden. He's extremely liberal. He thinks of himself as being woke, right? And so they just had a meeting recently where they figured their first priority was, you know, COVID response. And so on the outside, Trudeau is saying, well, we're going to prevent all this travel through Canadian waters because we care about the COVID pandemic. And I've joined with, you know, President Biden, you know, the political rhetoric to eliminate COVID. But what he's really saying is, screw you, United States of America. You shut down our Keystone Pipeline, where we were going to make billions and billions of dollars shipping oil through the United States of America. And now we've got zilch. So we're going to fire back on you, and we're going to prevent your cruise ships from coming through our waters, and we're going to basically kill the economy of the state of Alaska. I'm telling you, that's what this is really all about.
I agree. And, you know, but, and they did do that. But travel is another one worldwide, you know, where if we could bring back some of the tourism in different places, we could absolutely pump up our economy. Again, entertainment, things like that. So I do want to talk about, because it's going to go right along with this. I do want to talk about COVID in a moment, but I want to go on with this stimulus. So in the stimulus is $350 billion that is for states. It's not equally distributed by any means. There are 44 states, Ron, that have budget surpluses, but they are still getting money. But it is the blue states, and the red states like Florida and Texas are really getting the shaft on this. You know, it's not that people in Texas don't need to have the money or the people in Florida. It's that they are red states. And that, I just think that that's disgusting. This man said he was going to be the president to all people, and he has not been. And no untruer words were ever spoken than that. He is not the president to all people. He is the president to a select few.
You know, this is payback. You know, we always say elections have consequences. I think President Obama said that. But this is a payback in retaliation of red states, not only red states that were pro-Trump red states, they're conservative red states, that's why they're called red states, but also because states like Texas and states like Florida opened up their economy in the face of the false narratives of a blue administration. And so the state of California gets amply rewarded while the state of Florida is basically not getting anything near the money. The states of Oregon that has Portland, Oregon, right? Remember all the riots, remember the billions of dollars of destruction between the state of, you know, Oregon, and then also Seattle, Washington, and, you know, Detroit, and some of these cities that Milwaukee, Minneapolis, that had these riots and all of this stuff, where the Biden people were completely silent about that. These are the states are getting rewarded. So the people that destroyed their own states and cities are getting rewarded, where the states like Texas and Florida are getting the shaft.
Well, and that's true. And it's going to be very difficult for the economy to recover if we are paying people to stay home, because there's no incentive for them to get back to work. And they can, you know, stay home and make more money than their neighbor, which, I mean, that's just so un-American to me. But this is what the Democrats have put forth. This is apparently what America voted for. And, well, you know, good luck with this. I agree with you.
I don't think America voted for it,
but but we're stuck with what it is. We have to deal with what it is.
It is what it is.
So I'm going to talk about more things we're stuck with in just a moment after our first cup of coffee.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DrRonMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
My fellow Americans, our mission here at AmericaOutloud.com is clear. We're here to defend our founding values and principles at a moment when they are under unprecedented assault. And to cover the news objectively and offer intelligent commentary on the challenges we face as a nation. You can tune in and join our family of listeners 24/7 in this vital crusade. Our apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find us on iHeartRadio or our world-class media player. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Well, remembering that the stimulus is supposed to be about COVID, right? Even though 91% of it is not about COVID. I want to talk about COVID for a moment because there is a physician who is a surgeon at Johns Hopkins. His name is Marty McCary, who has an article out that is really interesting. And his article is that we'll have herd immunity by April. Okay. And the way that he determines that is really quite interesting. It's that we now are 77% down in COVID over the past 6 weeks. So why are we down? Two reasons. One, because a lot of people have had COVID, even people that don't know that they've had COVID. And so they get some form of herd immunity. And then we have about 15% of the population now vaccinated, which is adding to what we already have in herd immunity, right? So exponentially, the number is going to keep increasing as we vaccinate more people. And even as more people get COVID, they will get some antibodies. So he's done this kind of mathematically, which is too cumbersome to go through. But I think it's really interesting because we're not really hearing a lot of that from the CDC and the World Health Organization. They want to tout doom and gloom because I think it fits their political motivations, where even physicians who may not 100% agree with Dr. McCary have to agree for the most part with what he's saying, that we are really on the track to, you know, getting this under complete control.
And, you know, in furtherance of people understanding that are our, you know, followers and listeners, that Talking While Married is not a scripted show. Okay.
Right.
I mean, it really is you and me talking over a cup of coffee. You know, Linda, I was just thinking as you were talking about that, do you remember during the Trump administration where literally every single day the media, and including Fox News, including conservative media, they had a chart of how many people were infected with COVID, how many people were hospitalized, and how many people were dying of COVID. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Have you noticed that that's disappeared since the Biden administration?
Well, right.
I mean, I watch the news every single night in a couple of different news sources.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm not seeing that. So one of the things that, and I'm just throwing it out there as just a remark that I'm not seeing it. So how many people now are being hospitalized and how many people now are dying from COVID?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question, Ron, but I do know that I did read only today that hospitalizations were dramatically down, as were new reports of COVID were down something like 75%. So I think that we're definitely on the right track. Again, this goes with what we were talking about before about the stimulus. We're kind of giving the stimulus on the back end of this, and I acknowledge some people need help and we should help those people. The help to the museums and the arts places and the Obamacare and all those other things I really disagree with. The help to the schools, you know what, listen, they've had all this money for all this time that they haven't been in school. So,
and they're not spending it.
They're not spending it. So, you know,
they want to give them more money.
They want to give them more money, and not just this year, but years to come. So I think that that's baloney, because honestly, they do such a terrible job in many of our schools anyway, that they ought to have some sort of, you know, requirements of educational excellence before they get money. And that should depend on what money they get.
And states like California shouldn't defraud their citizens of their states. I mean, we can go back, I think, 30 years ago when California brought, you know, Super Bowl,
the lottery,
into being. And they sold that as saying almost all of the money from the lottery tickets was going to go to the schools. And that's how California.
And we would not need to pay the taxes anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. It was supposed to be the major funder for our public education school system throughout California. And boy, what a fraud.
It was a bait and switch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What a fraud that's become. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, and just a side issue.
They still ask for more money.
Just a side issue.
Yeah. But, you know, I have to make this other comment, which is probably a little bit snarky, but it's true that, you know, President Biden's only been in office for a month, and we are down 77% in COVID. That's not Joe Biden. That's President Trump. That's President Trump doing a phenomenal job on getting a vaccine produced and out to people. You and I have both had both doses of the vaccine. We feel very grateful that we were able to get it. We are looking forward to kind of feeling a little freer to live our lives. Can I mention
something, please, too? Because I'm sure when you say that, you know, our friends and listeners are wondering, how do we feel? Right. How do we feel? And of course, everybody's different. Everybody's unique. Everybody has different things going on or not having anything going on with them medically. But the first day, I didn't feel anything at all. I didn't even feel the shot. I didn't feel any soreness from the shot. And I felt wonderful the first day. Moving into the second day.
The second vaccination.
All right. I went to the dentist yesterday.
Oh, okay. You're talking about, okay.
We're talking about
the second vaccine.
The second. First of all, I'll just say in the first vaccine, I didn't feel anything at all.
Okay.
It was zero. Okay. The second vaccine, which we recently had, the first day didn't feel a darn thing. I mean, I didn't even feel the shot. The second day after I got back from the dentist, and I didn't hardly have anything done at the dentist, so the dentist was a non-issue. Towards the afternoon, I started developing a headache, all right? And then I got some joint and muscle soreness, and moving into the evening, and I'm just taking Tylenol, right? Just simple Tylenol. And this morning, I wake up, and I've got zero.
Okay.
Let me just see. And then the second day, after the shot, I felt absolutely nothing. And in the third day, again, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I was a little different. Everybody's different. The first shot, I felt a little bit nauseous overnight. Nothing big. Was able to eat and, you know, go about my business. That had a little bit of a headache. Second shot was a little bit worse. The night of the second shot, it's funny. My sister told me I was going to have chills because she did. I didn't have chills. I was as hot as I could be. I did not have a fever, but I felt hot. And so, you know, I'm throwing the covers off of me and that kind of thing.
And I'm chicken you with the thermal, right? With the thermal thermometer.
And I was fine, but I was very, very achy. But I will say Tylenol absolutely knocked out every bit of it. So anybody who has a reaction, take some Tylenol and you're good to go, because it really... It completely knocks out the reaction.
Yeah, you know, let me just mention something about those people that can use Tylenol like ourselves. You got to stay ahead of it. So don't forget, you take your Tylenol and you keep taking it if you're feeling the soreness. Don't stop taking it and then wait a couple of hours, right? Because then you're going to get all that soreness back. So stay ahead of the curve with the Tylenol.
Yeah. And see, I do it differently. I wait for the pain to come back. And I'll tell you why. Because sometimes it doesn't come back and then I don't want to take Tylenol. But I know with my body, for if I take Tylenol right now, in 20 minutes, I mean, virtually you can put it on the clock, in 20 minutes, I will feel great. So I just can kind of, you know, handle it for 20 minutes. Anyway, not a bad experience at all. Texas has an extremely organized and very easy system of vaccinating people. And again, this is a matter of now we need to start opening our businesses in all of the other states. You and I, Ron, were looking at going out to California. We have a new grandbaby and we'd like to meet him. Well, we wanted to wait till we got that second shot. And so now that we've had it, we do want to go out and we'll go out and see the grandbaby.
Yeah. And let me just say something too. And that doesn't mean that you and I are going to cast our fate to the wind, right? Okay. So now we're vaccinated. You know, we got our shield, our pharmaceutical shield of armor. No, we're still going to wear a mask. We're still going to social distance. We're still going to, you know, comply with whatever California or any other state that we visit, you know, what their medical restrictions are, so that, you know, the COVID, we can protect ourselves and other people. But at least, I mean, psychologically, it makes us feel a hell of a lot better. Okay, because we know that we are protected to a certain extent, as much as they know about people that have been vaccinated.
Right. But in researching going out to California, I started looking, we can go to some of our favorite restaurants. Don't forget, we lived in California for our whole lives
and
until 5 years ago.
Restaurants.
Yeah. So, and we have found that we can't go to our great restaurants because they still don't have indoor dining in most cities. So that was very frustrating. And when I think about traveling, I think about enjoying my travel. And it's a psychological barrier to me to go somewhere that I cannot move freely about. And yeah, that is the case still in California.
You know, in California, as we always talk about, is such a strange state, because they really have no idea what the hell's going on out there. But in talking with our friends and relatives that live out in California in preparation for our travel out there, they're telling us that it's county dependent. So some counties will let you dine outdoors and other counties are completely shut down, we're talking restaurants, okay? Mm-hmm. Except for takeout. That's the only thing you can do.
Right.
If the restaurant isn't outwardly closed, then the only thing that you can do there is do takeout, which is so unfortunate. You know, I just want to make a really quick aside. I wish Governor Newsom would show some hair and would simply do an experiment. Can I say that on the radio and show some hair? Maybe not.
I don't know.
Are we editing that out?
Go for it.
But no, you know, some intestinal fortitude, so to speak.
That's better.
And do an experiment, for God's sakes, and just open up the state. Just open it up and take a look at it for a month or 2 months and see what's going on.
And continue to vaccinate.
Because exactly.
I understand that California has been very hard for people to get vaccinated in. So we also had plans to go to New York City, and we canceled those plans.
Yeah,
because
no, I'm not going there.
I'm not going to New York City under their restrictive laws, because one of the reasons we go to New York City, or the reason we go to New York City, is to enjoy the shopping, the dining, the sightseeing, all of those things.
Yeah. You know, do
things like that. We can't do any of those things, so there's no point in going.
Yeah. And besides that, the crime rate in New York City
has
just gone up exponentially, and there are actually fewer officers on the street. So between the weather, the high crime, the high COVID rates there, the restrictions where we can't go to plays, we can't do anything that we like to do, we just crossed we crossed the city off our list. And it's unfortunate, because we're tourists and we were willing to spend money in the city of New York, but their environment is so bad right now, we had to cancel our trip.
You know, it's such a shame, because Giuliani made that such a great city to go to. And we frequented New York often, just for a few days at a time, having loads of fun. Now like you say, it's somewhere that I don't want to go. I see it as a very dark place right now. And that's unfortunate, because it just has so much to offer. I will say this, and I've never said this to you, but I'm going to say it to you, and I'm going to say it out loud, is I am not going to go to any city that is defunding their police. I will not tourist visit any city that is defunding their police.
Wow. And you know what? It's so funny. And I think that's because we've been married so many years. But that's exactly what I feel. You know, I was born, and maybe people don't know this, I was born and raised in the city of San Francisco. And unless I have a court case that forces me to go into federal court, which is in San Francisco, I will never return to the city of San Francisco because of the defunding, because of Kate Steinle and what happened with the immigration, the sanctuary city policy, and the city has just become a third world cesspool. I would never feel safe there, not personally, not medically safe.
Well, and you know, it wasn't even recently, but the last time that you and I were in San Francisco, which was for a case that you were handling, and I went along with you, and I went out on my own, and I went shopping on, what's that street?
Market Street.
The Market Street, which has always been a lovely place to go. I was walking down the street. There is needles on the street. There are
condoms
on the street. There are feces on the street. There is people, homeless people everywhere, and not homeless people just that are down on their luck, but homeless people that are violent. So right next to me, as I was walking, one guy attacked another guy with a knife. And I'm like, holy crap-a-moly, you don't get me out of here. And it was very unnerving to me because I'm unwittingly right in the middle of whatever. And all I'm doing is walking on the sidewalk.
You know, it's such a shame for people that don't know the city of San Francisco. The federal court building, I believe, is at 450 Golden Gate Avenue, which is right where UN Plaza is. And that used to be a beautiful place for pedestrians. And by the way, it T-intersects with Market Street, or some of, you know, Nordstrom's and Macy's and some of the big shopping outlets are away from Union Square, by the way. Anyway, you can't even go there. And by the way, Linda, I think you and I both know, but our friends and listeners may not know, the only place in the United States that has a poop map. I'll say that again, so you, just in case you missed it, a poop map that shows where all the human waste has not been picked up. Open human waste, not in a toilet, we're talking about on the street, on the sidewalk, is the city of San Francisco. And you can Google it. And if you did, I guarantee you it would gross you out.
Just as an aside, hopefully you remember that trip, because you were at your attorney's office. I went to Market Street, and after that episode on the sidewalk, I decided to stay in the mall, and I was not going to leave.
So $1,400.
I went to Nordstrom's, and I'm not a shopper, and you know that I almost never shop. I don't even like
That's
shopping.
That's really true.
So I'll go buy all the clothes I need for, you know, 2 years at one time. Well, into Nordstrom's, and I'm having to wait and wait and wait for you. So I start shopping, and then you're like, okay, well, where are you? You know, I need to pick you up. And I said, oh, don't worry about it. And Nordstrom's provided me with a driver and a limo and with all my purchases, and met you at the attorney's office, and you were just in shock. You're like, what did you do? Funny.
And truth be told, Dr. Ron and Linda are not oligarchs, right?
No.
So for you to blow $1,400, right? I mean, that's like truly a big deal.
Yeah, I spent $1,400 in the next 5 years on clothes. So, I mean, you know, I'm just not a clothes horse. So it was just hilarious. It was a lot of fun, but your face is worth $1,000,000 when I walked in.
But you know, but here's the point again. We're never going to go back to that city.
No.
All right. And so
that $1,400.
Well, yeah. And so look how the infrastructure and the people that work there and everything, you know, lose out on that money. And you know, also, we kind of took off on a tangent with the People's Republic of San Francisco. But the other thing, you know, to keep in mind is that conferences are no longer going to the city of San Francisco.
Yeah.
The American Medical Association, which holds a huge conference every single year, they're not going back to the city. They did a couple of doctors, you know, they have a group of doctors that go out there and, you know, check the place out before, you know, they have a conference there. Those doctors came back with the most horrendous stories, and AMA is out of San Francisco probably forever.
Let's get a cup of coffee and come right back.
Oh, my fellow Americans, we sure do love our convenient shopping options. But what happens after we buy? Are the products coming from China or overseas, thereby putting our fellow Americans out of business? Are the profits being sent to groups like Antifa, Black Lives Matter, groups that intend to destroy the freedoms that we enjoy? Well, listen, I'm an avid consumer just like you are, but I've realized that we need to think before we buy. Shopping should be convenient and easy, sure, but we need to be able to follow the money. Well, ShopToTheRight.com. It's brand new. It's a new shopping platform featuring American companies with a focus on products that are made right here in America. Well, listen, this is a novel idea and one that I believe will start to become more popular and create a shopping revolution. ShopToTheRight.com.
Boy, I want to talk about the weaponizing of race, because if people are watching television, watching the news, listening to talk show radio, you're going to see some of the most atrocious acts of people of color committing hoaxes and spreading false narratives about how white people are inherently racist, that the America and Americans is a systemically racist society and white supremacist society. And that is just not true whatsoever. And by the way, the vast, vast majority of Black people and people of color in the United States do not believe that. But you've got these people, for whatever reason, I think it's some psychological reasons, hey, look at me, nobody's paying attention to me, or they want to monetize their so-called plight.
I think that's more what it is.
Which is a complete false narrative. They are doing this. And of course, corporations who are so paranoid about political correctness and trying to be ahead of the curve on being woke fall right into this. And of course, the media is complicit. I want to just start out with some examples here. And the most current example is from Smith College. And Smith College is, I believe, up in Massachusetts. And we have a second year sophomore student by the name, and she's got an African name, so I don't want to butcher her name, but it's Olumu Kanuti. So, and I'll just call her Miss Kanuti. So Miss Kanuti is going to Smith College, which is really a high-end college. We're talking a liberal arts college, a college that has an annual tuition, Linda, of $80,000 a year. Not $80,000 for 4 years, but $80,000 per year. And so she's going there. So evidently, her parents are people of means, okay, to get her in there. I don't think she's there on scholarship. And anyway, she's in an area near the Commons, in a place called Tyler Hall. And because of the restrictions, the COVID restrictions, and also the few amount of staff that are working the college during the COVID period, they have posted that you can't be in that area, in that room of the Tyler room.
Okay.
You can't be in there. Anyway, and it's posted. And so she's...
Oh, this is a new take on the story that I've heard. Go
ahead.
Oh, no,
no. This is the absolute truth.
Go ahead.
And we'll talk about how we know it's the absolute truth. So anyway, she's in that area, which is a restricted area that's well posted. And she had some food, but I think she's kind of dozing off and she's kind of like laying back in her chair. And a janitor who's been there for 30 something years, he's in his 60s, he's got poor eyesight. And by the way, because the room is off limits, they've turned the lights down in the room. So you don't have good lighting. And she also has her hair cut extremely short. And I've seen pictures of her and I can totally see where from a distance in a darkened room, and with a person who's an older person with poor eyesight, she might look like a man. Now, the college has a policy where if there is something suspicious, that staff does not encounter the suspicious people because there might be a threat. So what they do is they call security. That is the protocol, the published protocol of Smith College. And so the janitor calls for security and he simply says, hey, I've got a suspicious circumstance. I've got a person that looks like a black male and he is inside Tyler's room and it looks like he might be sleeping. And could you just go check this person out? And so the security guard, security officer, who's been there for many years himself, he's a popular security officer, he goes over to make contact with Miss Kanuti. And by the way, and thank God, he's wearing a body cam. So the body cam is recording video and audio recording what is happening. And he just has a couple of minute conversation, finds out that it's not a man, it's a woman, and it's a student. And has a conversation with her about, hey, you know, don't mean to disturb you, but this is the restricted area and you can go someplace else, but you just can't be here. So you can return to the regular commons area, whatever. So, and that was the end of the conversation. It was a very polite, and you can see it, you can hear it. And so later what she does is she creates, she's apparently angry about this, and actually confronts the security officer who does a wonderful job of talking and de-escalation, a very polite conversation. And in his eyes, that's the end of it. What does she do? She puts it out on Facebook and maybe Instagram and on her social media that I was detained while eating while black. So eating while black
right.
becomes the false narrative, which is a hoax. What happens is that gets right away over to the president of the college. And the president's name is Kathleen McCartney. And Kathleen McCartney, without any investigation, without talking to the security officer, without talking to the janitor, just working off of the post by Ms. Kanuti, she immediately apologizes to the student, immediately suspends the janitor.
Oh my.
The same day, right? Without any investigation whatsoever. Then what she does is she engages a very, very high-priced training company to come in to teach implicit racial bias. Okay, so everybody's racist, everybody's biased. And so she engages this company, but at the same time, because now information is coming out that, hey, this is not the way it went down. I'm sure the security officer posted or let her see the video. All of a sudden, now the narrative is changing. And so the college, because it's a very expensive college, they retain a very prestigious and law firm to conduct an internal investigation, independent investigation. Anyway, cut to the chase. They find out that Ms. Kanuti's story is a false narrative.
Which they could have found out in 2 minutes by looking at the body cam.
Absolutely. But that's not what they did.
And how stupid and wasteful is that?
Yeah. Well, so anyway, so they spent a couple of months investigating, came out with a 35-page report that of which none of what their forensic findings were support with what Ms. Kanuti had to say and put out on social media. But did they ever apologize to the janitor or no. the security officer? No.
And when the news picked this story up, which I saw in the news, they never said any of it that way. What they showed is this young black woman crying over how she was treated and she was just sitting there eating, which is not true. And she, had the police called on her because she's black. That was her story. The news media didn't do their job in any kind of an investigation either. Again, this was so simple to figure out. All of the money, all of the time, all of the bad will, the janitor being laid off, all of these things could have been avoided by simply looking at that body cam. Call in the janitor, call in the security officer and get their story and it's over and done with. But you know, maybe it's a good thing that it came out, although I don't think it is, but because you see what happens. People are now figuring out, Ron, that they can use race to get, I don't know what, I don't know what she would have gained other than some attention, because what kind of person would have a security officer, I don't know if the security officer got laid off or not, but a 60-some-year-old janitor laid off. He was suspended. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Suspended because of her false story. What kind of a person does that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. And I was kind of following this on different news organizations the other night. And I was looking at one of the stations I was looking at was Fox News. And they had interviews on Tucker Carlson. They had interviews with two librarians who have both retired from Smith College. And they both had similar stories about how poorly white staff are treated at that college and what an unfair person the college, President McCartney is. And, you know, this implicit racism training and critical race theory training and this stuff that they are forcing on all of the faculty. And then when you take a look at it, there's no there. But Linda, this is my point of bringing up this subject, because this is happening. The weaponizing of race is happening increasingly in the United States. It has gotten us into a lot of turmoil. And just a couple of, fairly recent cases. We're talking about cases over just the past, three, four years. There's been a lot of them, but I just want to mention some high-profile cases. Jesse Smollett. So Jesse Smollett, I'm sure some of our friends and listeners recognize the name, but let me just go back over who Jesse Smollett is. Jesse Smollett was an actor in, that series, that HBO series, Empire. With a black cast. And what he was trying to do was get a pay raise. And so this is the guy, and I think it was in Chicago, I'm almost positive in Chicago, he hires a couple of other guys that are friends of his to create a scenario where he is beaten and lynched, right? They put a rope around his neck, and that turned all out to be a false narrative. And what happened is, the long of it was, the city of Chicago put 130 investigators on there. They spent over $110,000 to find out that Smollett's story was pure BS. And they found that out not only from interviews, but actual surveillance footage that it didn't happen, that he created it. And then everybody on that show, which were black actors and actresses, they all got their show canceled. And then, of course, Smollett had a GoFundMe page. And really, the prosecutor in Chicago never even really prosecuted him. Okay, he worked out a plea deal. He paid a fine and he was on his way. Okay, I mean, we could go on and on with these false narratives.
It is. And companies like Coca-Cola are asking their workers to be less white to fight racism. I mean, seriously, I don't care if somebody's white, black, yellow, brown. I don't care. We're all just people. And everything now is seen through this prism of race. This has not happened. This is an Obama thing. I'm sorry. This happened when Obama came into office. He started this. And why they want to create a race war now, don't ask me to be less white. I am who I am. I'm not asking them to be less black. I'm not asking somebody to be less Asian. I'm not asking anything from anybody. Let's just all get along and work together.
And here you go. And you've got Joe Biden in the White House and you got Kamala Harris in the White House as the VP. Neither one of these people say anything. You know, they need to be chiming in, and they need, if he's truly the uniter, and this is the, United America, party now in the United America administration, they need to be getting right out in front of this and say, look, America can never be united if we are constantly engaging in division politics and racial division politics. I mean, Martin Luther King And the civil rights advocates of the 60s would be rolling over in their graves to see where how we have degenerated in the United States of America.
Well, here's what I'm going to leave people with, Ron. In one of the images, because this Coca-Cola training was done online, because obviously nobody can get together right now, it said, to be less white is to be less oppressive, to be less arrogant, to be less trusting, to be less defensive, to be less ignorant, to be more humble, to listen, to believe, break with apathy, and break with white solidarity. That just makes me sick. It should make every American sick, no matter what color they are. How dare you tell me that because I was born as a white person or somebody else was born as a different color person, that this kind of garbage should be put out to people? How would anybody feel if we had training that said you should be less black?
How would you like it? Because, you know, I've done so much training my whole career. How would people like it if I walked into a classroom with officers, including officers of color, black officers, and the first words out of my mouth are, hey, you know what? Y'all need to to park your blackness at the door. Okay.
Right.
How do you think I would be canceled? I would be out of business
so
quickly, because that is an inherently racist comment.
And there's no reason for racism. We are all created equal under God. So we need to stop this, because if I change the word in that sentence that I just said to another color, any other color, I would be a racist. This is not right. And people that are, oh my gosh, this is angering. People that are doing this need to stop. They are causing more divisiveness in this country than fixing anything. And what they are doing is telling people of color that white people are bad and oppressing them, whether they are or not.
Yeah, so I mean, really quickly, I think my message to our friends, followers, and listeners is this. We need to push back against division, divisiveness,
yes,
and separating races and cultures and socioeconomic status. We need to push back against this. We need to be activists. We need to be verbal. And for companies like Coca-Cola that forward this crap, don't buy their product.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to remind people to be sure and tune in to America Out Loud and catch all of the wonderful hosts. Catch us every evening, Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's the end of this conversation. We'll see you
on the radio.